Climbers, if you want to get on the album of a major artist, you need to put yourself in the boots of a major artist and then step those boots on stage. What am I talking about? Listen up to find out and listen up to increase your chances of getting a cut. Johnny, do your thing, bud.
Welcome to the Climb! This is a show dedicated to helping singers, songwriters, and indie artists like you create leverage in the music business. This show is designed to help you, the artist, transform out of the old music business in the way that it worked, which is just, hey, have a lot of talent and hope to God that a record label picks you up, and transform into the new music business, which is you got to do it for yourself. You got to be a business person. You got to be a marketer on top of being an artist, create some leverage, and then all those things are going to come to you. And what's cool is it's going to come to you on your terms, not anybody else's terms. That's what you want. This is the deal. It's why we called it the Climb, C-L-I-M-B, creating leverage in the music business. That is a Baxternym from my good friend and co-host, Mr. Brent Baxter. Brent's an award-winning hit songwriter with cuts by Alan Jackson, Randy Travis, Lady A, Joe Nichols, and more. Got a couple number ones in gospel in the last 12 months as well. Still making miracles happen. And what I love about Brent is he can take a songwriter like you. He helps songwriters like you turn pro by revealing how you're going to write like a pro, do business like a pro, and then he connects you with the pros. He connects you with those publishers, with those artists, with those producers, so that you can begin to create the relationships you need to get songs cut and make your dreams come true. That's what it's all about here. You can find Brent very easily at songwritingpro.com. Once again, that's songwritingpro.com.
And I would like to introduce you to my co-host, Johnny Dwinnell. Johnny owns Daredevil Production. They're breaking artists digitally by identifying new fans through data. Yeah, it's complicated, but yeah, Johnny's smart. If you're an artist looking to increase your streams, blow up your video views, sell more live show tickets, and get discovered by new fans, TV, and music industry pros, then Daredevil Production can help. Daredevil has worked with multi-platinum artists like Colin Ray, Tracy Lawrence, Ty Herndon, and Andy Griggs, just to name a few. And Ronnie McDowell. You can find Johnny at daredevilproduction.com. That is production, singular, no S, and there is no S because there is no other Johnny D. Johnny, it's good to be back. I feel like I've been missing you.
I'm back. You have been missing me. I have been kind of off the grid. I went down to Key West to see a rock festival, man. It was friggin' awesome. And I got stuck.
You got stuck in Key West, huh?
Yeah, it was like a 4-day festival, like hair bands and stuff. It was friggin' awesome.
Yeah.
And I went down there with Janelle and my sister and my brother-in-law, and we just tore it up and had a great time. But we went down Friday morning. We're going to come back Monday morning and just skip the last day. There's nobody there on the last day that we're dying to see.
Yeah.
And like on Sunday night, and just imagine Johnny in the mothership at a hair band festival with a sister. I'm lit up like a Christmas tree, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then we get the text that the flight's canceled. And we flew Allegiant, which has a direct flight to Key West from Nashville, which is freaking awesome. But it's not cool when you get stuck there because they only have two flights in and out of Key West a week.
Ouch.
So if you get canceled, now you got to wait till Friday.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden your package deal on the hotels changes. So they go up to $350 a night and flying out at the last minute from Key West, because it literally is one of the corners of the world. You know, certainly the United States, and flying out of there it was freaking going to be expensive, man, like $1,000, you know? And so we just were weighing the options of, hey, can we find a cheaper room? Can we, you know, what can we do? And then I checked, like, Miami's is the next kind of closest airport that would have a reasonable flight, but that's 4 hours away, you know?
Yeah.
So I looked at some buses, and for whatever reason, the buses weren't running. I don't know if it was COVID or what, but we weren't getting any love there. But I did find a shuttle, which was like super awesome. And so we got a reasonable shuttle ride, Janelle and I did, to Miami. And then I found like two flights, like one way flights out of Miami to get home. So it was like, I'm so far behind right now.
So your long weekend was like hairband, pull your hair out.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
Exactly. Oh, right. Yeah. Bend over and take it. Cause, I don't even like, I don't know how we're going to get out of here. And we're just, you know, spending money like crazy. But,
lighters in the air to hands around the ankles. That's great.
That's exactly right.
That's the calisthenics you want. All right.
Oh my gosh. So what are we going to learn today?
All right. Yeah, that's gone downhill fast. So what we're going to learn today is the fact that too many times I think aspiring riders don't think outside the rider's room. They think in the room, what am I riding? Does this tickle my fancy? And they don't think far enough out as far as the end result that they want. As far as if they want to get cuts, they need to be thinking outside the rider's room. They need to be thinking on the stage. And so we're going to dive into that today and hopefully just help, reset some minds out there. So climbers out there to help you on your journey. So yeah, that's what we're doing.
Awesome. I love it. All right. Well, before we do that, let's take care of a little business here.
Yes.
We are super proud to be a part of American Songwriter Magazine's podcast network.
Mm-hmm.
Stay tuned for that. We might have some information coming up here shortly on that. Some news, if you will. Hey, man, this is since 1984, I think, it's been around. So
crazy.
Lots of great shows on there. If you haven't checked them out, go check them out.
My wife's been around.
Hey,
Sam,
way to go, bro. That's awesome. Like, slow clap for you. Join the climb community if you haven't done it yet. It's facebook.com/groups/the climb community. This is a killer thriving community. It's very busy in there. We've got singers, songwriters, indie artists, indie musicians, just trying to find their way, you know, helping each other out. Hey, I did this and I promoted and I did that and I got this gig and I got that. And we try to jump in there and provide just a really good hang and information. Like whenever I see something compelling that I think would be valuable to you, I'm going to post that in the climb community.
Mm-hmm.
And we celebrate your wins. We want to hear all about it. We want to hear your music. We want to hear about your gigs and all that, but you got to put it in the right place. So otherwise you'll get roadhoused out. Don't, you know, no clutter, no mucky muck.
Right. We don't spam the jam.
That's right. We do have like a new heights on Wednesday. What's that looking like? We got some wins we need to talk about.
Yes, we have some wins that I'm happy to share with the climb community. All right, let's see here. One is from Jeff Rowe. He said, woohoo, I got a song I wrote with Matt Rogers has hit number one on the Texas Internet Radio chart this week. She's Gonna Leave a Mark by the Darren Morris Band. And then he has a link where you can hear it. And that is perfectly acceptable. And we encourage that. So
congratulations.
Yeah, so that's his top 75 chart for week 3 of 2022. And Jeff has a song sitting up at the top of that chart. It's hard to climb further than number one.
That's right.
I guess you can stay there. Now, hope you brought a tent. Camp out there for a little while, Jeff.
Yeah.
Yes. So congrats on that.
And some Lunchables.
Some Lunchables. That's right. And let's see. Tracy Collins Richardson says she got on the NSAI Ones to Watch list with one that she co-wrote with Dale Giffen. Also another woohoo. And also played a gig last night for state legislators in Indianapolis. So great week. So
Good
stuff from both of them. We have other wins. We'll just keep it to this week. But yeah, congrats to both of y'all and everyone else who listed wins. So if you have a win you want to share with us, come on over to the climb community. We want to hear about it. We want to celebrate with you.
Well, there you go. And hey, make sure that you subscribe or follow the podcast, depending on what platform you are, wherever you listen to podcasts. We are everywhere. And then finally, tell somebody about it. That's the biggest thing you can do. You spend this amount of time with us on a weekly basis for a reason. It's not because it's an outreach program that you're that you're setting up for Johnny and Brent. It's bringing some kind of value to get this kind of time from you. We're very grateful for that. We don't take it lightly, but help us help you help your friends and tell them about it. Tell other writers, tell other artists, let them know, hey, there's some good stuff on here that's just going to help you untie that knot of the old music business and get you on track and asking the right questions and doing the right things to succeed in the new music business. It's a different approach on all fronts. So
that's right.
Do that. All right. So put it on stage.
That's right. So as I alluded to earlier, I think too many times aspiring songwriters and even young pros don't think outside the writer's room. We get so into the song that we're writing, the intricacy of the melody, the nice internal rhymes, the emotional nuance, that we forget something really important. And this really important something is the fact that hit songs are meant to be performed live on the stage somewhere. And so we can get too much into like navel gazing, you know, only thinking of ourselves and impressing ourselves and high-fiving ourselves with how clever or heartfelt we are, that we forget about the listener. You know, we forget that the artist wants a song that is going to slay their audience. So, yeah. Johnny, I'm going to ask you a couple questions here. Pop quiz, all right?
All right. So I hope I have the right answers.
That's right. You, well, it's
I'll I'm have sure some answers. Will. I don't know if they'll be the right ones.
All right. So,
no.
Okay.
No. No, I'm sorry. I thought you asked me already.
But not yet. Okay, so, all right, Johnny, you fronted a rock band.
Yeah.
Lead singer, frontman, rock band. All right, so you've lived this. All right, so just tell me, what kind of songs did you like to perform live? Like, what did you want to go out there and do with your live songs?
Well, I mean, I wanted to blow people's minds. You know, that's what we lived to do. That's why we worked as hard as we did. So that manifested itself in different forms. You know, we were not afraid of the power ballad back then. We had a couple of those. You know, that was a big deal on the radio and a real good way to get the female audience there.
Yeah.
And then it depended on, when you asked me like what I like to play, it certainly depended on like what part of the show are you talking about?
Okay. Yeah.
You know,
feel free to talk about that.
Yeah. So, I mean, in the beginning, we want to come out and just melt your face. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And just like a one-two banger, just right out the gate. You
announce
know,
just, your presence with authority. Here I am. Taking my claim. Right. All right.
Up tempo, high energy, maybe a little vocal acrobatics, just to as much as I could muster up anyway.
Yeah.
You know, just to let people know that we're here, you know what I mean? And then you get the big break and you're like, how's everybody feeling? And they're like, holy crap. Yes. You know, we made the right decision tonight.
Yeah.
And you move on. And then when I was doing it there, the unplugged thing was still big. So we had parts of our show that were unplugged where, you know, we'd just bring it way down, just acoustic. And that was more like a vocal prowess thing in terms of the band, because we all sang. So we had harmony songs that we would do that would just let you know that we've been working real hard on our vocal lessons and stuff like that, along with the power ballads are kind of in there. And then the big – we wrote specifically for this, like a big show ender, which is basically like a goodbye song from us to you.
Yeah.
We'll see you next time around, that kind of thing. The song was called For You, and it's just like, we do all this for you. And and that was it. So it's that kind of a big, like a sort of epic mid-tempo, you know, acoustic, heavy rock thing, you know, had a lot of dynamics in it. It was just a big anthemic kind of thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So everybody was singing along and stuff. Yeah.
That's awesome. All right. So you like those songs because they accomplished something you wanted to accomplish, right?
Yes.
And what were some of the things you wanted to accomplish? So you said melt their faces, right?
Or blow their minds. In the beginning, I want to get them revved up. I want to get them excited. I want to own that room. I got to get them in the palm of my hand. We didn't go there to put them to sleep. Not in the gig that I was at.
Right, yeah.
And then in the middle, I want to be able to craft that show so we can bring them down a little bit and just make them, you know, show them that we can sing really well and sort of lighten it up and put some heart and soul in there. And then I want to bring them up out of that at the last half of the show and really rev it up. And then at the end, I want it to be a moment. I want them singing along. I want them just looking at us going, holy crap, I can't wait until they come back again.
That's awesome. So how do those songs make you feel to sing those different types of songs? Like, did it make you feel confident? Did it make you feel like a rock star? Did it make you like what those songs that you guys had back in the day?
Oh yeah. I mean, it wound me up. I mean, I live for it, you know?
Yeah.
So especially when, I mean, I just live for that visceral it's pure testosterone and loudness. And, you know, it was just so freaking cool to be in a band, man. You know, like I effing loved it since I was a kid.
Yeah.
But when we got like intentional with it too, mm-hmm. and then like I really knew, hey, I'm gonna put this tool right here, mm-hmm. and we're gonna turn this just 3/4, towards top dead center, and then the next tool I'm gonna do out here, and then I own you. When you started crafting more than just the song, but you started crafting like the show, making that happen and getting that. People just freaking out, you know, getting more money. I mean, there's like the different metrics that made you feel like you were progressing, you know what I mean? Yeah. That you're getting better, that you're worth more, that mm-hmm. you're climbing the ladder that you're there to climb.
Yeah.
To no pun intended. Pun intended.
Yeah, well, maybe.
It made me feel awesome when we nailed it.
Yeah.
And we had that whole audience in the palm of our hand, and we could control the whole mood from uh-huh. the beginning to the end and craft an experience. When we crafted an experience for the audience, it crafted the experience for us. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's kind of like you got to give it away to get it back.
Yeah. To take care of them, they'll take care of you.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's a different high, you know what I mean? Than it is like playing at rehearsal or something when you're playing for yourself. You know what I mean? It's a different level, even in a bar crowd, man. It's a different level when they're really into it and you're just connecting and you're hitting on all notes. And so it really is, you gotta go out there and you gotta give it away the right way. And it just comes immediately back to you. And then that's why you're there. You know,
cool.
that's worth everything else.
Well, awesome. So I think it's so important for, like, as a writer, I don't live that life. I haven't lived that life. It's not something that I think about outside my normal experience. Like, mm-hmm. I have to go, okay, let me think about what this is like. And an artist like Johnny or Jason Aldean or Carrie Underwood, what do they want out of a song that's going to be on stage? Because that's, you know, if you want cuts, you need to be writing hits or stuff that's going to get staged. It's funny, you know, like I've noticed that terminology for my friends, like in Southern gospel. Yeah. We staged the song this week. I mean, like we figured out how to play it live, like how it's going to look on stage and where it goes in our set. They call it staging. I'm like, oh, that's an interesting way to put it. Getting it ready for the stage. It's like, are you staging your songs? Am I thinking about, is this something that could have a place in a live show? What kind of place would this have? How's the artist going to feel singing this? How is the audience going to feel receiving this at a concert? Because again, if you want cuts, you're probably gonna have to write a single, right? These days, unless you're writing with the artist, there's not much money to be made in album cuts. So single, which means they're gonna play it in their shows, and what they think will go over well in show will also help determine what goes on the radio and vice versa. You know, I think they feed into each other that way. And so, like most, I mean, the artists want the audience to have a good time. Right. You wanted your audience to have a good time so they can give back to you and you're making more money. They come back to the next show, all that good stuff. You're hosting a party and you want to be a good host. Right.
So I'm the MC.
You are the MC. Right.
I'm the most famous guy in the room usually when I was on stage. Right.
Exactly. Typically. Yeah. And so also, artists want to be the center of attention. They want to be loved and admired. They want to be the most famous person there. They want to be a star, right? Uh-huh. Like, that's not a bad feeling to go, I feel like a star. Because guess what? That's the gig.
Yeah.
For the most part, is to go be
a star. That's a whole heap in helping a job satisfaction when you walk off the stage adored.
Yeah.
Because you did your job that night. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like, it's different when you're not. Mm-hmm. Adored, it's a different gig, man. Like I was down at the hairband thing, dude, and I was letting Don Dokken have it because let me tell you something. I went down there just to see George Lynch, you know, back with Dokken to do it, and that was the way it was built. And so this is the opposite of what we're talking about. This is what happens when you don't deliver. I mean, this is honest. This is real, and it's. And I was a little mean and I was a little drunk, but I was also pissed off a little bit, you know, because it was like the George Lynch reunion with Don Dokken. And I thought, oh, this is going to be effing killer.
Yeah.
I was sure they're going to play Mr. Scary, you know, which is an instrumental, and George is my favorite guitar player, bar none. It was billed, nobody lied to me, but it was like this other band with Don Dokken singing until like the last two or three songs.
Yeah.
And Don Dokken hasn't aged well on his voice. He just is, he was not a good, he wasn't delivering any of the goods at all.
Yeah.
Everything sung an octave lower and he just looked miserable being up there because I'm sure he hates George Lynch. And, you know, he's just like, he's kind of like a miserable soul. God bless him. I hope that changes for him. But I was in no state of mind to handle these shenanigans. Like I was like, shut up, bring out George Lynch. So from that end, I'm there. I paid money. I flew down there to go see that. And I want to see, I want my mind to be blown. You know what I mean? I'm there prepared to have my mind blown. When it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen. And so the other end of that, because we had a little chant going, you know, George Lynch, George Lynch. Dude, it was, you know, I'm sure Don was just like,
We can only be around each other long enough to practice two songs.
Yeah. You know? So, but I mean, so that's the opposite, right? Like he was probably just miserable doing that. And, but when you deliver, it's, wow, it's, that's it. It's like you're floating.
And there are a couple things that lead into that. One, staging, right? Like the light show, the production, all that stuff to make somebody have the trappings of a star, all the lights and pyrotechnic and all that kind of stuff, depending on your genre. The other thing is the songs, man. There are songs that set people up to be like stars. There's like star making songs.
Yes.
When you write for an artist, ask, you know, which is what we do when we try to get cuts, right? Write for an artist. When you write for an artist, ask yourself, does this song belong to a star? Like, is this song,
I love that.
Like, does it made for a star to sing?
Yeah.
Is it that big of a song? I remember I was listening to a podcast about screenwriting or movie making or something like that. And because I like to listen to those just because of storytelling and all that stuff. And anyway, it said most of the time movie stars want roles that allow them to be, guess what?
Movie stars.
Right, exactly. They want to be stars. They aren't looking for these small, understated roles that stretch their acting chops. Now, there are definitely stars that will go and take those roles, you know, for those reasons, for the art of it.
Yeah.
But a lot of the time, they need roles and movies that allow their star to shine, to allow them to be movie stars. You know, Die Hard, Bruce Willis was this TV actor until that role and him in that role made him a movie star.
Yeah, action hero movie star.
Action hero. I mean, Julia Roberts in Pretty Woman, you know?
Yeah.
Tom Hanks in Castaway. He's like the only guy in that movie. It's him in a volleyball, you know? That is a star.
How tricky is that? Yeah, like that's a lot. That's a big, that's a lot of work.
That is a star vehicle.
It's a vulgar display of prowess. Yeah.
Same with Will Smith and I Am Legend, only due to the movie. Yeah. You know? Yeah. There are just some roles that are written for stars.
Yeah.
It's the same with songs. Like, how can we write a song that allows an artist to be a star on stage for 3 or 4 minutes? Like, how can we help the artist shine? Maybe it's that big Carrie Underwood melody. We're like, oh my gosh, or Celine Dion. You know, you stand up and you sing that, and you sing that way. Boom, that's a star moment, right? Or maybe it's
it taps into who they are, what their strong points are.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. To go for people to go, oh wow, okay, that's a thing. Maybe it's a deep hurt of "I Drive Your Truck," you know, by Lee Bryce, to people go, oh my gosh, that touched me so much, you know, or the passion of Garth Brooks, you know, "More Than a Memory." Maybe it's a swagger of "How Do You Like Me Now" by Toby Keith, or a lot of that, Eric Church stuff, which is just rock star stuff, you know?
Yeah.
Like when you close your eyes, when you write, close your eyes and imagine the singer like on a stage in front of like 15,000 people singing this song. Like, does it belong on that stage?
Yeah.
Does it make sense up there? You know, does it sound like it's a big moment, big event kind of song? Because for most of us, for commercial popular music, that's what you want. You want them to sing your song and go, this is, or to hear your song and go, oh, this is going to kill live. My people are going to love this. This is going to up my game. This is going to make me a star. Maybe I've been having singles and they've been doing all right, but I'm not a star. You know how some people, if they finally break through with that song, you know,
yeah,
they become a star.
You know what's weird?
What?
Like I I'm a purist at heart, like especially when it comes to music. Mm-hmm. You know, just a purist. It's about, and which sounds crazy because, you know, hair band, right? Which was trite, but it still, there was a purity to it, you know, like mm-hmm. when everything switched over to Seattle, a lot of the bands started wearing freaking flannels and beanies. Right. And I'm like, you know, we live in Florida. You guys look like fools, you know?
Yeah.
And I just thought like, okay, now you're chasing your tail and mm-hmm. you're kind of doing this. So I was, you know, there's a purity in there for me. And when I wrote songs, the purity to me at the beginning for a long time was really just about kind of honoring the muse, you know, like I was waiting for it to come. Mm-hmm. I wasn't, I did none of the things that you preach, you know, none of the things that you profess, which was, you know, a lot, some time for sitting down to write and do this thing. It was a very, very pure thing for me that, you know, I could have done a lot better had I, you know, made some of these adjustments and, you know, become a better songwriter and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But my point being that it felt like, and I don't know why this is, but I think maybe for some purists, it's like if you bring an intention into it,
mm-hmm.
it somehow, I felt like maybe we're taking away from the purity, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like I just let that flow come from the muse and then we write this and it is what it is and it's going to live a life or it's not going to live a life and that's okay. But mm-hmm. but that's the difference between, I think, raw talent, which is where like the muse comes from
mm-hmm.
and like the gift, you know, and then craftsmanship.
Mm-hmm.
You know, is the intention. Like, okay, now we're going to take this and do this right here because this is what needs to happen.
Hello, Pantheon Podcast listeners. Christian Swain here to tell you more about my experience with Raycon earbuds. Our family now has 3 pairs of Raycon earbuds around the house. And my wife just grabbed a pair of the Headphone Pros to replace some headphones from a company that was double the price. And yes, she loves them. Now, if you haven't pulled the trigger on a pair of Raycons, or even if you have, but you're in the market for another pair because they're just that good, well, now is the time to check them out because they just launched their upgraded model of the best-selling everyday earbuds. With Raycon's upgraded everyday earbuds, now you also get active noise cancellation, ergonomic design, and multi-point connectivity that lets you pair with 2 devices at once. New quick charge function, 3 customizable sound styles, plus awareness mode. Available in a variety of vibrant new colors to complement any and all skin tones. I even have a pair of earbuds in a cool green color. I have tried just about every earbud known to humankind, and these Raycons are fantastic. Seriously, if you've been wanting to check out Raycons, there truly is no better time. You're going to ask yourself why you didn't check them out sooner, and Raycon offers a 30-day happiness guarantee. So, what are you waiting for? Go to buyraycon.com/pantheon today to get 20% off your Raycon order, plus free shipping. That's right, you'll get 20% off and free shipping at buyraycon.com/pantheon. buyraycon.com/pantheon.
Next.
Yeah, I mean, was it less pure when you're talking about earlier when you started building your show to achieve the highs and the lows and to take your listener on a journey very intentionally through trial and error?
No, it was less naive when I started doing that.
Yeah,
you know, because before I just had my head on my ass. I mean, that just dawned on me when you were saying that. And I was like, wow, that made me think of that because I remember sort of fighting that initially. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And thinking that somehow. That's not pure if I'm mm-hmm. thinking about it too much. It needs to just kind of come through me. And wow, was I wrong, you know?
Because it's, you know, what target do you want to hit? And, you know, if you still want to have those times you write those songs that you're just like, I'm not worried about anything. I'm just going to write a song. And there's definitely time for that, without a doubt.
Mm-hmm.
But you need to be thinking about this stuff before you pitch, at least, to go
yeah. –
oh, yeah, there's a song that I love. I can't imagine anyone ever singing this kind of thing. But if it's one that you really love, maybe you pitch it here and there. But, man, you know, if you have those songs that you can imagine being on a stage and working in front of 15,000 people and making the singer a star, that's just – that's what they're looking for. They want to be
money.
Stars. right? So how can my song make them a star? Does it belong on that stage? Does it allow the singer to shine vocally? Does it allow the singer to be super vulnerable emotionally? Like, you depend on what their lane is, that makes them go, oh my gosh, that, you know, we've so connected with this artist, or to become a heartthrob and make every woman in the audience sweat.
Yeah, does it give you swagger? Does it give the singer swagger?
Exactly. Yeah.
Go up and vamp on stage and just completely show off.
Yeah.
And strut your stuff, and then people are like swooning, you know, like girls love you and the guys want to be like you, you know, that's the song, right? That's what all performers are like that. Just straight up. Like, if you're a performer, you seek to be a master in the art of seduction.
I just think of George Costanza. Him on the couch, the timeless artist seduction.
The artist seduction. Yeah. But you know what I mean? Like, they're seducers. Like, you go out there and try to seduce that audience, you know? And I don't just mean sexually, but I mean, you're seducing them. You know, you're like, you're trying to put them under your spell and bring them into your world and own them for a little bit of time.
Yeah.
And have them trust you to do that, you know?
Yeah. And so, does your song help someone do that? Also, is your song built for sing-alongs, you know, or for the audience to sing your lyrics back to the singer? So is it suitable and singable for the audience? Remember, this is commercial music. It's not the opera. We want to be able to sing along. You know, operas aren't really known for, and that's the part we all sing along with the fat lady. No, we don't. It's a different thing. Also, you know, and you talked about this earlier, Johnny, does your song have a slot it can fill in the live show? So is it the opener? Is it the opening blow your mind, face melter? Yeah, hey, we're going to have a good time. I told the story back in episode 295 about how we wrote a song specifically to be a show opener. And guess what? The artist I wrote it with was already opening his shows with it before he cut it.
Yeah.
And yeah, he cut it. It's called One Tonight. It's cut by Don Amaro up in Canada. And it's all about making the most of tonight, because tonight is never going to happen again. We might have $15 worth of gas in the gas tank. We may have $100 in my pocket, whatever. But we only got one tonight.
Yeah.
One chance to get it right, you know? And we're like, this could be a good show opener going, come on, we just get one tonight. Let's get it right. Come on. You know, and so it's tempo, it's fun. And that's a pretty good tone setter for a country show. Mm-hmm. You know, just letting people
pretty good tone setter for a rock show too. Not for nothing. I love that idea.
How you sonics and stuff, but yeah, like, we just get one tonight. Come on, you know, don't waste it. Also, you know, is your song going to make the singer look good? Imagine yourself as a singer, you know, would it feel cool singing this in front of 10,000 people or on national TV? Is a character in your song, the narrator, fun or funny or wise or loving or lovable or inspiring or relatable? Like, there's got to be something that, like, is going to draw us to the singer. It could be, you know, that amazing vocal that makes us in awe of that singer. Oh, wow, that's amazing. That note they hit, wow. You know, it's like The Voice or American Idol, those kind of shows. You know, it's that kind of thing. Or is it that singer is so funny? Or you're talking about the swagger, like, oh my gosh, that just let them be total Bruno Mars rock stars, right?
Yeah.
Or... Mm-hmm. They were so vulnerable. I just want to reach through the camera and give so-and-so a hug, you know, you know, what they did there, they just opened themselves up, and they're, you know, there's different ways to be a star, but your song needs to hit on one of those. Not like, you know, that leaves me feeling totally generic and nothing toward that person. And it's just, that's just a thing. Okay. Or they don't seem very,
That's cookie cutter then, right? Like, if it's got that, when I think of swagger, I think of like Uptown Funk.
Oh yeah.
With Bruno Mars, you know what I mean? And it's just all that everything, it's like the sort of slang in the language, and it's just so, you know, give that to Bing Crosby, it's not going to work. You know what I mean? It's just, you've gotta, you know, Bruno Mars, you gotta have that.
Yeah.
You gotta have that thing, man, that swagger to pull it off. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, well, it's how you can make certain stuff. It's why David Lee Roth is David Lee Roth. It's the swagger. It's that, you know, those songs like they wrote for themselves. Mm-hmm. And I see where you're going with this. Like, I never, you know, it's hard for me to imagine the place you're coming from right now, because I was always the artist.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's a different place.
And I understood as an artist writing songs for other artists. So I always made that connection. That would be cool. But, wow. For a songwriter who's never ever wanted to be an artist, or who isn't an artist, this is like, wow, this is a really good conversation to have.
Yeah, and it's one songwriters need to have with themselves and with their co-writers in the room to go, okay, we're aiming higher than just like the Bluebird or the open mic night I may go play.
I'm aiming
for stadiums, TV,
yeah,
you know, that kind of stuff. 14 million people watching on Fortnite, whatever it is, you know, we're aiming for something big.
And you know, it's funny that, so that sing-along stuff, right? So, I told you I went down to Key West to this rock place with my sister and my brother-in-law. And so that's my baby sister. So she grew up with this stuff, right?
Yeah.
Cause I'm cranking this up all the time. Bands practicing in the basement. She knows all these songs cause her older brother was way, 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 way into it. You know what I mean? Like all the way into it.
Yeah.
So Janelle, wasn't like the hair band aficionado in any stretch of the imagination, you know, much more sort of rock and roll for her, 70s rock, stuff like that. But it was funny at the, so this is, you know, a 4-day festival of nothing but hair bands, right? So you've got some, the real biggies aren't going to be there, right? The Motley Crue's and the Aerosmiths aren't, you know, they don't, the festival can't afford them. You know what I mean? But you've got a lot of the upper mid-level bands, you know, and stuff like that. So these are going to be the ones where if you're in the scene, you know the bands. But if you're not, what do you know? The songs. And so we were sitting out there. She has no idea who this band is that's on. But also she's like, oh, I know this song. Yeah. Oh, I remember this song. Like, and now she knows that she's singing along to it. And she knows that melody, you know. So it's kind of that sing-along thing. Crosses over, right? Which is really good. So again, another reason not to be, there's a time to be Bluebird and there's a time to, you know, just rock and roll on the stage.
That's right.
You know what I mean?
And that sing along is more the result of the song was already hit and already popular. But like you're talking about your song For You that you would close your Kid Gypsy shows with.
Yeah.
Now, most people hadn't heard that before unless they'd been to other shows, right? But you got the sing along thing with it. It's the anthem kind of. You know, you build those in, even if it's not a hit yet, you want to give those people and people will, you know, take time in their show to almost prep people on how to sing along. Because they know it's so important.
My point is it's a moment.
Yeah.
You're creating the moment. And so what you just described, what you just articulated was the difference between a moment that was created in a live show. Because that song certainly wasn't on the radio. And even if we had gotten a deal, it would not be a single. Mm-hmm. It would be a show closer. You know, it's a deep cut, right? And it's the same moment that somebody had listening to that melody or that sing-along on the radio. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And fall in love with that song and sing in love with that song. And then all of a sudden, now you're at a live show. You're like, oh, I know this song.
Yeah.
Now it becomes that moment, you know, because it is that moment. The moment isn't for... you know, the super elitist, snobby songwriter who's just like, well, that's really well done, you know, golf clap. It's like, yes, I want to sing, you know, like, you know, country girl, shake it for me. You know? Yeah. I mean, like, you know, it's a moment. It's a cool moment. And some of those things brought me over from those transcend genre lines, you know? I mean, I like Country Girl Shake It For Me. I still like Country Girl Shake It For Me. I don't like Luke Bryan a whole lot. I'll be honest with you. I could care less about Luke Bryan, but that song's cool.
I like that song. Purpose.
Yeah.
I haven't seen Luke in concert like since he really blew up. I saw him like at the Tin Roof, you know, years ago when he was singing Good Directions because that was his only hit out and it wasn't even him singing it. or I think All My Friends Say had just come out. So, you know, that was a very different thing. But I'm sure it does the job. So another thing that we've talked about, but I want to highlight is tempo, right? Most of the show, mids, up tempos, having a good time, keeping the energy level up, people partying on their feet, because it's easier to either go to the bar and get a drink, which makes the owner happy and gets you back if you're on your feet, or go to the merch table and buy a t-shirt, which makes you happy as, you know, you and your merch people happy if they're already on their feet, right? If they're sitting down, not a whole lot of economic activity is probably happening. So keep them on their feet, having a good time, And so most of the time what they want is tempo. They don't need many ballads. You know, I've told the story before of this Jake Owen concert where, you know, the one ballad was his, at the time, current single, Made for You. Everything else was mids, up tempos, having a good time, full band. And then when it got to that single, band went away, solo spotlight on him, walking out to the audience, talking him and his acoustic guitar. Like, total, then it's Bluebird, right? But you know, it's a single, and it's a love song that, you know, is like he's pouring his heart out to this girl, I was made for you, and all this stuff. It's like, oh, so sweet, Jake, you know? And then, boom, lights on, party time again. And so it had a moment in the show to have that variation, some of that, you know, that roller coaster of a ride of a show. It has a point to be there. And so, you know, we just... The answer is going to vary for different artists, what's going to stage well for them, what they might need for this tour, what they might need for this album cycle, this, you know, next time being on the road, this next show. But we do ourselves a favor when we start thinking about it, at least going, what might they need? What's going to go well on? Can I see myself or can I see an artist saying this? We just did this music industry pitch event with Leah Turner, or just the deadline passed. And so Ray and I are listening through songs right now. And it's interesting. So I've, you know, been thinking about this as I'm listening for Leah. What would be cool for Leah? And there are just some songs on there that, you know, most of the songs, of course, don't fit. That's just the nature of the beast. You know, you've been there. Mm-hmm. And but there's some who's like, boy, she's not going to want to sing that in front of a bunch of people. That's not one either. It doesn't fit her brand, or like, is she going to want to sing about not being kissed till she was almost 30? One, probably not true.
Yeah. Two, like, have you seen her? Have you seen the woman?
If she had been kissed, that's on her. That's her choice. Because
so, there's a line down out the door and down the block, man.
So, you know, it's like, you know, is an artist going to want to get up and say that in front of a bunch of people? One, is probably not true for most artists, you know, and even if it were true, is that something they want to call out? So like, boy, pitching that to an artist is tough. Like, if you're the artist, you want to put that out there, then cool, rock on, do you. But because there are a lot of people that can relate to that or whatever, but or the people that will like be like, yes, I'm not alone, you know? But for another artist who's, you know, star is rising and wants to, that just, most people aren't going to want to go. And there's many variations of that. You know, there's a difference between having lost and being a loser. You know, most artists aren't going to want to sing songs that make them come across as losers, you know? Yeah. And you know, yeah, there are songs like Creep, because I'm a creep.
Well, I'm just thinking that's going to be very, very specific.
It's so specific. It's like, yeah, so part of it's kind of what's in vogue at the time, but still, most artists, you know, because even Beck singing "Loser," I'm a loser, baby, so why don't you kill me?
That's got swagger, but he's got swagger. It's almost like tongue in cheek.
It is.
You know what I mean? Like, you think I'm a loser, baby. It's kind of the way that comes across.
Well, I'm wearing that's like a badge of honor, so I'm cool.
Yeah. There's a swagger to that. There's, you know, as opposed to, you know, just some big wound.
Yeah, people singing that at his concert. Do you think they were really like, "Woe is me"? It still made you feel good.
Yeah.
You know, made you feel good. So, if one thing, go to concerts or pull them up online and see what people are actually putting on stage. Not what you think they should, but what people actually do on stage, what they sing. Go, what's the service in this song? Why is this song getting played? Why is this on this stage, getting sung from the stage? Okay.
Yeah. Hey, I got something to add to that. Yeah. So two things. Like, one, just as an artist and as somebody who always, you know, wanted to be on stage from the time I'm in, what, like, fifth, sixth grade, you know? Like, every time I wrote a song, even in the beginning, no matter how crappy it was all about, like, while I'm writing it, I'm picturing what the light show is going to look like and where the risers are on the stage. Mm-hmm. And you know what I mean? Like, the biggest show possible.
Yeah.
Because that's just what you do when you're dreaming, you know, and you're doing it. And that doesn't go away. You know what I mean? It's like that same little kid dream thought hustle is what you're doing. You know, when you're on top of the game, you got a number one single in your Motley Crue, and you're like, what if we took the freaking drums and spun them around? You know what I mean? Yeah. When you did the solo, you're like, wait, what? Like, yes, let's do it. You know?
Yeah.
And so it's like, you got to have that sort of, that little kid thing, but on a different level, like I'm thinking right now about something about like live show production, right? With like what Tom Jackson does. Mm-hmm. And Wade Sutton did some of that, our friend Wade Sutton, and he turned me on to this, artist from, San Diego. A guy's name was Corey Wilkins, country artist. And Corey had a song about like whiskey. Mm-hmm. And I can't, if you put a gun in my head, I couldn't tell you what the name of the song was, but you know, country artist whiskey, go figure.
But
like they made a moment out of this. So he had shot glasses made with the name of that song on there. And then he would announce before they were going to sing the song that they had these shot glasses over and everybody should go get one and then go get a shot with it because we're all going to have a toast. And then there's a big stage production that happens, you know, where they had a spotlight. And you're talking about like Jake Owen with the single, the love song thing. This was the same thing, except it's a, you know, a bar stool on the stage with a single spotlight, black stage and a shot glass.
Yeah.
On the bar stool, you know, and they did this whole thing around it. And that dude would sell out shot glasses every single night in a bar. Right. So, you know, thinking about it that way of and so I think I just encourage you to have that imagination. Mm-hmm. Like just here's where if I don't know. How can you not like want to secretly be a songwriter or secretly be a rock star, even if you're not, even if you know everything that comes with that and you'd never actually do it.
Yeah.
But we all would just be like, Oh yeah.
Well, the thing is we all, I mean, we're music fanatics. That's why we're here. That's why you're listening, you know?
Yeah.
And so,
go there, go like, that extra mile. Think about that big show. And what is this song going to do?
Yeah. I mean, come on. You're probably a rock star in your car. Come on. You know you are in the shower.
I'm a rock star in my own head.
Exactly. So, okay.
I look a lot different now.
So.
But it's okay.
So, yeah, pull that in. Like, okay. Okay, if I'm jamming out in my car, if I'm jamming out in the shower, whatever. Like, okay, bring that swagger to my next song going, I want somebody, you know, what's going to make somebody jam in their car to this. I mean, that's another way of looking at it too, but
yeah,
they're just something to think about. You know, a good companion, we're talking about tempo, you know, fans want to have a good time. And so most concert songs are mid or up tempo. Just come back to that. It's a good companion episode for this episode, by the way, is episode 259, which is Don't Overthink a Hit. Talk about my buddy, Aaron Goodvin, who's a hit artist. And, we talk about, you know, just thinking about what the fans and what they want. So that's episode Climb, episode 259, Don't Overthink a Hit. That's a great companion piece to this one. But yeah, think about stage it. It's meant to go. If you want the song to go further than your writer's room, it's meant to go further than your writer's room. And you need to think about where it could end up and does it belong there. You dance, you get dressed up at the house for the party you're going to. You don't get dressed up at the house for the house and then show up at the party. Why are you wearing your sweatpants and your, you know, whatever, and your hoodie with all the holes in it? Well, that's what I got dressed in when I was at the house. But you were coming to the party. You get dressed at the house for the party you're going to, right? So you write your song in the writer's room for the stage you want it to be on.
Yeah, dress for the job you want, not the job you have.
Exactly.
That's what they say.
Yeah, exactly. So, all right, that's it. Hey, I have a gift for y'all. It's over an hour. It's the Power Hour. It's over an hour of interviews with hit songwriters, hit publishers, producers, that sort of thing. It's basically kind of like a sneak peek at the Songwriting Pro member area. It's going to help you get your head on straight, learn from people with cuts by and hits by like Garth Brooks, Jake Owen, Lauren Daigle, Kenny Chesney, Tim McGraw, and more. It's ridiculous. And I'm giving it away. It's my gift to you. You can find it at songwritingpro.com/preview. songwritingpro.com/preview. You can find it there and get a look at it there. And so it's a Songwriting Pro Power Hour. And I hope you check it out because it's going to be good for you. But that's what I got for today.
All right, guys. Well, that takes us to the end of another Killer Climb episode. Make sure you join the Climb community, follow the podcast or subscribe to it, and tell a friend about it. This podcast exists because we want you to win. So keep on climbing.
And we'll see you at the top.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more Fantasy Points.